Happy birthday to something near and dear to all of us. Podcasting has just turned 20 years old. Hi there, everyone. I'm Jeff, and this is Plain English, where we help you upgrade your English with stories about current events and trending topics. When we were last together on Monday, I told you that something I know you use recently celebrated its 20th anniversary. Now, there are very few things that I know everyone in this audience uses. All right, a toothbrush. But other than the basics, there are very few things we all use. That's how different we all are. But I know you listen to podcasts, and that is the thing that has been around for exactly 20 years. And we'll talk about the history of podcasting on today's story. In the second half of the lesson, like we do every time, we'll talk about an English expression. Today, it's come to mind. So I'll show you how to use the expression come to mind in the second half of the lesson. This is lesson number 663, so that means JR, the producer, has uploaded the full transcripts and exercises to plainenglish.com/663. Now, with that out of the way, I think we're ready to get started. Here we go. Podcasting is a portmanteau of the words iPod and broadcasting. And to understand how podcasting became a thing, you need to know what an iPod is and what an RSS feed is. An iPod, and don't laugh, there are people who don't know what this is. An iPod was a portable music player made by Apple. You could download music onto your iPod and take it wherever you wanted to go. It was more convenient than listening to CDs, and it sounded better than listening to cassette tapes. 1,000 songs in your pocket was Apple's slogan for the first iPod in 2001. So that's an iPod. An RSS feed is the second thing you need to know about. An RSS feed is written in XML, computer code, and it's a way for web browsers and mobile apps to get updates to websites. RSS feeds were popular in the early days of blogging. Each blog would publish an RSS feed so readers could see the latest posts of all their favorite blogs on one single page. So an iPod was about listening to music, an RSS feed was about pushing updates to websites. The innovation that created podcasting was to marry the RSS feed with audio files. That happened in 2003 with a new type of RSS feed. This new feed included links to audio files in addition to text. So publishers could release a link to an audio file and include accompanying text like episode titles and summaries. It sounds obvious now, but it wasn't clear at the time how this could be used. For a clue, though, look at the very first podcast. Even though it wasn't called a podcast at the time, the founding fathers of podcasting were a software engineer and a journalist. The engineer is the one that created the new kind of RSS feed, and the journalist used it to publish audio recordings of his interviews. Every time there was a new interview, he'd publish the audio recordings in the new RSS feed, and his audience could see and listen to the updates with some effort. This was nifty, but not very useful at first. Web browsers could pull the RSS feed, but there was no good way for consumers to play the audio file. It was not until the next year, 2004, that the creators partnered up with a TV journalist and created a program called iPodder. This program could read an RSS feed with an audio link and, this is the important part, move the audio files onto an iPod. So finally, with iPodder, it was possible for a publisher to send audio files out into the world and for consumers to listen to those audio files on their iPods. Podcasting was born. Now, the name wasn't inevitable. iPod was Apple's brand, but Apple didn't develop the podcasting ecosystem or come up with the name. But there wasn't a great alternative. Audio blogging didn't sound right. Online radio wasn't accurate. In 2005, Apple officially gave its blessing to the term. The company included podcasts in its iTunes software, and Steve Jobs said the word podcast on stage for the first time. Early podcasts fell into one of two broad categories. On the one hand, there were the hobbyists who self-published content, usually once a week. On the other hand, there were big radio stations that republished their live news, talk, and sports programs on their podcast feeds. For almost a decade, podcasting grew slowly but surely. It was a very American thing in those early days. It was much less popular in Europe and almost unheard of elsewhere. Then everything changed in 2014 when NPR, America's public media broadcaster, released Serial. This was a 13-episode investigative report about the killing of an 18-year-old student. It sounded like a thriller. It became a cultural phenomenon. Serial was the first podcast many people had ever heard. It was the first show to get 5 million downloads per episode. After Serial, podcasting became something people talked about. Listenership in America tripled over the next 5 years. And the nature of podcasting changed too. Publishers, big ones, small ones, and hobbyists, they realized there was a whole new way to connect with audiences. Podcasting offers a very personal connection. It's not like the radio, which plays in the background. Your attention can wander in and out of a radio broadcast, but listeners tend to listen to complete podcast episodes from start to finish. And by and large, they listen alone, often with their earbuds in. It really does seem like just one person talking to one other person. Today, there is much more to podcasting than just enthusiasts and repeated radio content. Most large, diversified media companies have podcasts to complement their other offerings. Think the BBC, Bloomberg, and the New York Times. Podcasting studios have popped up to offer original content. Wondery is the biggest example, but there are many others. There are podcasting celebrities now. Joe Rogan, Mark Maron, and Tim Ferriss come to mind. Podcasts have been made into television series. If you want a good one, look up Dirty John. Podcasts used to be once a week, and most were about 30 minutes long. The old advice was to make the podcast as long as a typical commute to work. But now, there are daily podcasts. Many still are about half an hour, but some are much shorter, just a couple of minutes. Still others are hours long. And podcasting has even outgrown the audio form. Many podcasts now include a video component. As podcasting has grown internationally, YouTube has become the number one place for people to find new podcasts. Some people mourn the early days of podcasting when it was just hobbyists talking about their favorite TV shows once a week from their home recording setups. There wasn't much money involved, and everything seemed authentic. Somehow, we went from that to Elon Musk smoking marijuana on Joe Rogan's video podcast, delighting his millions of adoring fans. But hobby podcasting is not dead, it's just different. New platforms make it easier than ever to record audio and get it out to the world. There are over 3 million podcasts available and over 200,000 launched last year. Listeners, and I include myself in that, we are spoiled for choice. With a few taps on our phones, we can find a podcast to be entertained, to stay informed, to brush up on our history, or even to get better at new languages. All right, so on this episode about the anniversary of podcasting, I'll recommend a few other podcasts to you. Now, I'll put these links in the free transcript at plainenglish.com/663. If you like business news, I recommend The Journal, a really good podcast from Spotify and The Wall Street Journal. And I also recommend Planet Money from NPR. Another one I like, Dear Therapists. Each episode features a one-time therapy session with a real anonymous patient and two therapists, Lori and Guy. That's a very good one, and they give good advice too. Hidden Brain is interesting. That one's about human behavior, why we act the way we do. If you like science and medicine, you might like the Huberman Lab podcast. It's a little technical for me, but you all know science is not my strong suit. And finally, I would be remiss if I didn't mention another English learning podcast. All Ears English is a really good English learning podcast, especially if you want to hear something a little more conversational. They have over 2,000 episodes, and that is a real accomplishment. So, All Ears English with Lindsay and Michelle is my recommendation if you want to add, not replace anything, add something to your podcast playlist. Come to mind is the expression we'll talk about today. Now, if you say that something comes to mind, then you can think of that thing easily and spontaneously. This is a funny expression because it's very personal. What comes to mind to me, what I can think of easily, might not come to mind to you. But still, we tend to use this to describe examples of people, places, ideas, things that we or a person like us could easily think of. Who are some famous podcasters? Joe Rogan comes to mind. Tim Ferriss comes to mind. These are people who are famous in the podcasting world. I don't have to look up their names. I thought of their names easily and quickly and without much effort. Maybe you've heard those names. Maybe you haven't heard those names. But if I'm the one speaking, and if I say Joe Rogan comes to mind, I mean that for me, and for someone like me, maybe with similar interests, for me at least, I can easily think of Joe Rogan's name. What are the potential health benefits of light-based therapies? What comes to mind? Absolutely nothing comes to my mind, but if you were a scientist studying these things, or if you had recently listened to the Huberman Lab podcast, maybe pain relief would come to mind. Maybe improved skin health would come to mind. So you see how this is personal. We all have different things in our minds. What comes to mind to me might be totally unfamiliar to you. What comes to mind to you might be unfamiliar to me, especially if it's about science. Even so, don't use come to mind with very specific things that only you would know. Use this with things that people like you, people with similar interests, people with similar experiences would be able to think of easily. It's good to use come to mind when giving examples about topics of general knowledge. Who are the great Renaissance painters? I'm not an art history expert, not by any means, but Da Vinci comes to mind, Michelangelo comes to mind. This is general knowledge. These are names that many people can think of relatively easily. And there's no right or wrong answer with come to mind. This is a great way to start a discussion, to find out what other people think. What are the great historical sites in the world? What comes to mind? I'll go first. Machu Picchu comes to mind. The Taj Mahal, the Colosseum in Rome, the pyramids in Egypt all come to mind. You might have said the Great Wall of China, Chichen Itza, or Stonehenge come to mind. The great thing is, this is about your opinion and your experience. Well, we are approaching the end of today's lesson. Now listen, this is a great time to practice using come to mind. You just learned it. So now is the time to practice. So I am going to give you a few prompts here, and you should try to write a sentence using come to mind. So here we go. Prompt number one, what are the most famous foods in your country? And prompt number two, who are some inspirational leaders? So write a sentence or two using come to mind and answer those prompts or others if you want. If you're a Plus member, you can write your examples directly on the transcript page for this lesson, and I will read your examples and give you personal feedback. If you're not a Plus member, it's okay. Few ideas for you. One, you can share your examples with your English teacher. I'm sure your teacher would love to read your examples. You could ask a native English speaker in your life. You could type your sentences into ChatGPT and ask for feedback. Not 100% accurate, not 100% reliable, but it's okay. It's okay in an emergency. And of course, you can join Plain English Plus and I'll read your examples and I'll give you tips to improve, just like I do with all the Plus members. They write examples on plainenglish.com every single day and they get direct personal feedback from me. So if that's the option you want to go with, visit us at plainenglish.com/plus, P-L-U-S, to join. But that's all for today's lesson. We'll be back on Monday with a new topic. See you then.